everybody. I'm Joyce, and I'm an alcoholic. Hey. Wow. I'm going to start the timer because I tend to talk a long time. I know no other alcoholics do that. What it was like was that my first drink that I remember, I had sips and stuff when I was growing up, but the first drink that I remember taking consciously, I plugged my nose and drank hard alcohol. And I would sneak into my mom's, she had like this old-timey ice box, like a real old ice box, and that's where she kept the booze. And I would make a line, a little imperceptible, what I thought was imperceptible line, and then I would chug and then put water in it and put it back. And after I got sober, she said, you know, did you think I didn't know? She said, my cream de menthe was practically clear, see-through. Yeah, I didn't think she knew. And from that first time, I was, before that, I was super religious on my own choice. Like, I think that saved my life, like finding a God that I could do business with back then. But somewhere along 16 years old, I started to rebel. I was grounded from church. I had a really strict household with my stepdad. And so I started to rebel. I'm like, okay, you ground me from church. And then they wished I would go to church after that. I started drinking and doing other stuff that was really self-destructive. And either one, I would try to hide. I drank from 16 till I was about 26, and then I got sober when I was 28. There's a little bit of a gap there. But what happened was most of the time I drank to get drunk. I didn't always punch people in the face when I drank, but when I punched people in the face, I was drinking. And one of my spiritual advisors in this program told me one time that, you know, you're an alcoholic when you can't drink in safety, meaning that I could start out the night and not know how it was going to end. And that was me. And when I was about 26, I was depressed, and my dad had always blamed his alcoholism on depression and all of that, so I didn't want to be like him, so I stopped drinking and took the medication, blah, blah, blah. And, my problems didn't go away. My alcoholism didn't go away, and I still subsidized my alcoholism with other stuff besides alcohol. And it was, you know, okay. And so fast forward, my dad was dying of cancer, and I finally saw my alcoholism in him back reflected into me. And I saw that he was 63 years old and dying, and I didn't want to be 63 years old and be an alcoholic still. And my brother had gotten clean. He had made amends to me, and he's an NA. I said clean, right? And my first meeting that I went to by my choice was his meeting, was his home group. And I was struck by the level of honesty there. There was a guy with all tats and a bandana, looked all hard right next to me, and he opened his mouth, and his mom was dying, and my dad was, his mom had just died the day before, and my dad was dying, and I was all, dude, and he was all soft, and he was like, I'd been able to be there for my mom. Turns out my brother had been his sponsor, like these kind of things. My brother growing up was abusive, and in a lot of ways, and he has made amends. He's made it right. When I first approached him, it was because he had changed, and I could see that. And so that's his recovery, but it opened the door for my recovery. He 12-stepped me. And the kind of healing we've had in my family, I got sober in 1995, and when my dad was dying, and when I had 40 days, my dad died, and I was there with him, with my sister, who was still drinking. And then at 49 days, when I got back from Oregon, my husband left me. He said, hey, I got to get alone. And I said, you better get alone then and quick. I was so mad. I was so angry. But he knew that I was getting sober, and he knew that I meant business, and he didn't want to get sober. And it wasn't a good fit, honestly. I made that decision I met him when I was drunk in a bar. So I had just thrown up when I first met my first husband. Seriously. Ooh. And so, it's true. And so when I got sober, he wasn't wanting to do that. And you guys, I would have stayed. I would have stayed in that marriage. And I'm so glad he left. I wasn't glad at the time. I was mad. But what it did was, my life had gotten so small that what it did was force me to reach out in AA. And so I was a hurting unit. My dad died and my husband left me. I mean, I was a hurting unit that second month of sobriety. And I just did what my sponsor told me to do. She said, get three numbers at every meeting and call them and make them female. Oh, okay. That was new. That was totally new. And then the one that I said, the man that I said I couldn't drink in safety, that's how I knew. He ended up being my spiritual advisor because she told me he had some teeth and he chain smoked. And she told me one day after the meeting, she goes, go talk to him. I'm like, are you kidding? She goes, go ask for his number. I'm like, you said not to get guys' numbers. It was a different deal. He had like, I don't know, 10 plus years. He had to have more than that. Anyway, that was Lance, and he ended up being my spiritual advisor. I could go to him with stuff that I didn't want to go to my sponsor yet with, and he was my spiritual advisor for those first couple of years. He saved my bacon. And at his funeral, because, you know, if you don't drink and you stick around here, you get old enough to pass away, and he did. And at his funeral, I got to tell a family member of his what he was like because his family had shunned him. So his nephew never knew his uncle, but he knew that he had helped people like me. And that's like one of the beauties of this program, right? Like, he may not have gotten to repair those relationships, but he helped me with my relationships. And I loved Lance. And my sponsor has been, my sponsor now has been my first, third, fifth, and now eighth sponsor. She heard all my stuff, and she was my sponsor for like 6 years, and then she was really busy, and I got another sponsor, and then over the years, we've gone back and forth, but she's always been there for me. Anybody worth their salt, they don't fire you. They stay in your life. It's not a job, so nobody gets to fire each other. But what she always said was, I'm here for you. And I've been able to work the steps with her and with other women in this program. And they've shown me a different way to live. They've shown me a different way to relate to people. And when I get into fear, which is the main motivator of all my character defects, they show me how to give that to God. And I do have a God these days. I don't even know what it is still at 18 years. I just don't know. I don't know, but I know that it works, and I see it in you guys, and I see it in my life. I'm married to a man that has never seen me take a drink, but I met him at the same bar as my first husband. But this time I was sober, you know, so my choices were much better, we've been together for 13 years now and married for 8, coming up on 9 and 14, and that's not the woman that got to this program. I just am so grateful for my life. A friend of mine says that I would settle for the apartment over the garage, and God wants to give me the mansion. And that's been my experience here, is that I would have cheated myself if I thought. There were times in my early sobriety where I thought I knew what I wanted. Even when I went to college, I've been able to go to college. I've gotten three degrees. I can't say it, but I got them. 3 degrees in sobriety, and I couldn't go to school. I told my sponsor, I'm too scared, I can't go. She's like, yeah, you can. And then I'd call her from there, and I'd say, I can't do this. And she'd say, yes, you can. And she periodically reminds me of that these days. But I was the girl that said, there's no way I can do this. And then I could do it because of you guys. And, you know, it turns out that once you stop drinking and using other substances, school is a lot easier. When I wasn't stopping at the bar before class or instead of class, I actually finished the classes. I learned here, suit up and show up. And my friend called me yesterday and said she didn't know if she'd have babysitting to be the 10-minute speaker, and could I do it? And um, And I've learned to, happy birthday, by the way, Randy. Happy birthday, Randy. I've learned to say yes to AA requests. However, I have a caveat to that, being a female and being from where I come from. I have to make sure that I can afford it spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially. Because I used to say yes when I needed to say no. So that's been an addendum to my, that's from another program. And and I'm so grateful for my sobriety. I'm so grateful to you all for my sobriety. My life is so different. So different. I have a job that I love, and I've had some crap jobs that I hated, just so you know. I had a job where my boss was an active alcoholic, and I was sober. And at one point, she said she wanted to choke me, and she meant it. And that was the beginning of my career now, which I love. Thank you. And that's all gravy. And that's all one drink away from being gone. Before I got married to my husband, and I'll finish with this, he told me and my friend at dinner one night, like a couple weeks, she was my maid of honor, that if I ever took a drink, I would have to live, at the time we lived in a place on stilts, and he said I'd have to live under the house if I ever took a drink again. And I got so mad. I got so mad. But he was serious. He does not have a problem telling me what. And then I thought about it, and he's right. He has every right to have a boundary about that. He didn't marry someone who is drunk. And so he gets to say, you don't get to be drunk and be in the house. So now we have a home. We bought a home, and now it's the back hill. So thank you for keeping me in the house. Thanks.